This message that I want to share with you this morning, I titled it, Rebellion Wrapped in Religion Brings Division. It's a long title, so if you're taking notes, I'll give you a moment to write it down. Rebellion Wrapped in Religion Brings Division. How many knows it'll also destroy the vision? It'll also stop the mission. Religion is deadly. Amen. And I want to talk about that this morning. And I've preached this message to bishops in Kenya, Tanzania, in the Republic of Georgia. We've taught this just about everywhere we go. And I really feel like I want to go back and visit it for solid rock today. The more I studied it and the more I looked over it, I realized that, you know, this is something that we need to be reminded of. How many knows ever so often we need to be put in remembrance of some things, right? Amen? And so I want to start this today. I have a disclaimer, and I want you to understand what I'm about to say. When I start this message today, do not look to the left. Say, oh, he's talking to those on that side. Don't look to the right and say, I wonder who he's talking to sitting over here on this side. In fact, look inward and see if there's anything that will apply to you today that will help us be better servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't start looking around, you know, and say, well, you know, that Sister Chatterbox over there, that's who he's talking about, or that's old Brother Satellite Ears. You know who I'm talking about. All they do is talk and listen, you know. Sister Facebook and Brother CNN, they're gonna really take this out of No. This is not for everybody else. This is for us. Can I get a better amen? Amen. So I really believe that we as believers need instruction. We need to be taught the word of the Lord. We need to be aware of Satan's devices. The Bible says, my people are destroyed because of what? A lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed. Can I give you the Rhodes translation? The enemy thrives where God's people stay uninformed. The enemy thrives where people of God are uninformed. There's another scripture in the New Testament that says, let us not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Because if we're ignorant, how many knows he has gained a foothold through our ignorance and can have his way? We're going to talk a little bit about this morning. Now, Jesus in his earthly ministry, how many knows he had a lot of controversy everywhere he went? I mean, not everybody loved the message of the cross or the message of Jesus or that he was God. And everywhere he went, there was opposition. And I want to tell you something. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to teach what he taught, if we're going to do what he did, we will also have opposition. We will be faced with opposition. Do you know they even said Jesus had a devil? Anybody called you a devil yet? Well, they have me. I've been called a devil. I've been called that this is a house of devil worship here at this church. But you know what? How many knows the devil's ignorant? And there's some people that's just as ignorant, amen. Because but when you do and follow the works, the teachings, the principles and ordinances of Jesus, they're going to say the same thing about you. They accused Jesus. Here's some of the things. They accused him, Steve, of not paying his taxes. They accused him of tricking and manipulating people through his magical tricks. They accused him of being an illegitimate child. They accused him of being a fraud, a cheat, a liar. Let me give you a scripture to prove all of this. In Luke chapter 11, I'm just warming my motor right now. I'll let you know when I get on the runway, okay? Luke chapter 11, we read where one day Jesus, verses 14 and 15, one day Jesus was casting out a demon from a man who could not speak. And when the demon was gone, the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Everybody say amazed. Amazed. But, can you say but? But some of them said, there will always be some of them in our church. Some of them said, No wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Can you imagine? Jesus knew their thoughts, didn't he? In fact, we'll drop down to verse 17, and it says here that Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said, any kingdom divided is doomed. Can I say it like this? Any state that's divided is doomed. Any city that is divided is doomed. There will not be progress. Let's take this down a little closer to home. Any church that is divided is doomed. Come on, church. Any business that's divided, any partnership that has division will not succeed. Can I hear a good amen this morning? A family that is splintered by feuding will fall apart. And I believe God's wanting to raise up some people today at Solid Rock. And I know the crowd's not as great as it usually is, but that's okay. God knew who was going to be here. God knows we needed this today, and he may want you to take this and share it with some others. But we are not going to be ignorant of his devices. We are not going to be ignorant of the tricks and the schemes of the enemy. We're going to identify those things today, and we're going to recognize so that we won't fall into that trap. Somebody say amen this morning. How many knows there are still spirits that are loosed in the world today? How many believes there might be some lying spirits out there? Deceiving spirits, seducing spirits. Familiar spirits. You see, the New Testament church or the modern day church don't like to hear about that because we don't want to think that we have to fight demons and spirits and spiritual things in high places. But listen, it's a true fact. We have a fight. There is a war going on. If you're a born again, spirit filled believer, there's going to be real war on the inside of us. There are spirits that are coming against churches. There are spirits that are coming against our nation. By the way, today is one of the days that there's going to be prayer in Washington, D.C. They've dedicated today to the rebirth of faith in America. I hope you can watch it. I hope you can follow it today. They've got some great preaching. They got some prayer, some singing going on. What a testimony. The rebirth of faith in America. God knows it's about time. I'm so glad that there are some news programs that you can watch today, and they're not afraid to testify about the saving grace of God. They're not afraid to talk about how good God is and just take a minute and even pray on their networks. Glory to God. The best days are yet ahead, amen. But there are still spirits that are loosed on this earth that's trying to deceive and consume. There's such a spirit of heaviness upon America. What does the Bible tell us to do about a spirit of heaviness?
That's right.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are spirits that are just running rampant. How many of those? There might be some spirit of errors around. How about pride? I'm not talking about anybody here today, okay? I'm talking about Sister Bucketmouth that had to stay home today, okay? But they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And listen, there are some spirits that did not die when the people that had these spirits were buried. How many knows the spirit of Ahab is still very much alive on the earth today? The spirit of Jezebel is still rampant in the earth today. The spirit of Absalom is still rampant in the earth today. The spirit of Absalom. We're going to talk about this for a little bit this morning. But they didn't die. And there was a man by the name of Korah who died in the wilderness. But that spirit of Korah is still alive and living and moving in churches and homes and ministries and many people today, even here in the 21st century. The spirit of Korah is simply this. It is rebellion against the God-ordained authority that God establishes. I'm not here to poke any feathers in my cap. I'm not here to toot my own horn today. God knows we have people in this church that have been placed in positions of authority. And when we rebel against the God-ordained authority, we are committing the sin of Korah, and not good things happen to people that operate with the spirit of Korah. You see, the spirit of Korah often disguises itself as, let's be fair. That's not fair. The spirit also disguises itself as being gifted or more spiritual, or I've got my feelings hurt, or I just wasn't treated right, and they try to control people with those feelings. That's the spirit of Korah. We're going to deal with that today. Underneath all of that is pride and jealousy and self-exaltation. Let the church say amen. Amen. Even the New Testament in the book of Jude warns that those who fall under the spell, the attack, the spirit of Korah will be destroyed just as he was in his day. I've got 5 points for you today. 5 points. And I'm going to try to be done by 2 o'clock this afternoon. So buckle your seatbelt. Get your helmets on. If I don't make it through all 5 points, how many will come back next week and let me finish the next week? Would you do that? I'm not going to rush through just to say we got through 5 points. I want to talk about this. I want to elaborate. I want us to meditate on the things that are being said this morning. And I need to slow down. I'm in high gear. I need to back it to granny gear so that we can understand this today. Okay. So point number one. You're taking notes. The spirit of Korah is born from pride and comparison. That's a good place to take a note or turn on your recorder. The spirit of Korah is born from pride and comparison. Now listen, let's talk about Korah for a minute. Korah was not an outsider. Korah was not a nobody. He was a Levite. He had position. He had authority. He had a calling on his life. He had responsibility. But instead of being grateful for his assignment, he became jealous of Moses' assignment. Selah, let that sink in for just a moment now. Number 16 outlines the story of Korah. And we're going to read about a man who incited a rebellion against the leadership of Moses and Aaron because he became jealous of their positions. I want to tell you something. Where's Dwayne Massey? Are you in the building? You better be. Where's Dwayne? Where's Dwayne? He's not in the building. He's back. Okay, he's in the bathroom. Okay. Turn the cameras off, please. Listen, Dwayne is praise and worship leader. He has authority on this platform. I said, Dwayne is worship leader with authority. It is delegated authority from the pastor. There are workers up in the children's church, the nursery. Jennifer has authority in that nursery. We don't need people rebelling against the leadership that God has ordained in the local church. Or we will divide and we will fall apart. We will crumble. Any church divided will crumble and fall apart. So Mr. Korah, who had a calling, who had a ministry, who was a Levite, no less. I mean, think about it. He was already in the circle, right? But that didn't satisfy him because he wanted more. He wanted the spotlight. Everybody say spotlight. He wanted the attention. He wanted to be heard. He wanted the bigger assignment. And so he incites a rebellion, but not only does he do it by himself, he takes another man by the name of, I'll come to it in a minute, but he also takes 250 chief leaders out of the church to go to approach Moses and Aaron. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 right now, and we'll go on a little bit further in just a moment. But let's look at this. One day, Korah, the son of Izhar, a descendant of Kohath, the son of Levi, conspired with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, from the tribe of Reuben. They incited a rebellion against Moses along with 250 leaders of the community. Notice He didn't do it by himself. He had to get somebody to go with him. All right, let's go on. These were all prominent members of the assemblies of God. No, of the assembly. These were prominent members of the assembly, is what it says here. They united against Moses and Aaron, and notice what they said. You have gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by God, they said, and he's with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people? When Moses heard what they were saying, he fell face down on the ground. In other words, they approached him with their backup and said, who do you think you are? God talks to us. We're holy. God has set us apart. Now listen, and Moses didn't argue that with them because God did set them apart. How many knows all 4 million or 2 million or 1.5 million, however it was, God delivered all of them through the Red Sea. They were all delivered. But somebody had to lead. Somebody had to take charge. And that's the problem that Korah and the Korah spirit has. They don't want to submit to anybody that's in charge because they're just as holy as everybody else in the church. We're not denying that we're all holy. We're not denying that we all hear from God. We're not denying that we all have the Spirit of God living inside of us. But God ordains order. I said order. Order in the church. Yeah. Who do you think you are? Why should you lead? We're just as spiritual as you are. The spirit of Korah hates submission because pride always wants the spotlight. Did you hear me? Pride always wants the spotlight. How many of those comparison is dangerous? And this is exactly what the spirit of Korah, this is what Korah did. This attitude of comparing himself with Moses, it's dangerous because it makes people forget what God has already given them, what God has done for them. You're not looking at what God's called you to do. You're looking at what God's called somebody else to do, and you want their job. You want to be like them. Now listen, this is a timely word today. Don't be looking around, okay? Don't say, I sure hope so. I wish they were here today. No. This might be a very timely word for many of us. Maybe it's a warning, I don't know. But if you've ever thought this in your heart, this is something we need to deal with. We need to put it down. We need to not give into that spirit. Amen. So who's, first of all, When Korah came against Moses, he said, who do you think you are that you have all of this over us? How many knows Moses didn't call himself? If you remember back in Exodus, when he was standing in the front of that burning bush that did not burn, God spoke out of that bush and says, Moses, I have called you. Moses didn't even want the job. Moses tried to get out of that responsibility. I can't do that. But God said, no, I am calling you, son. You are the man I have picked. He didn't pick himself. Who do you think you are to set yourself? No, he didn't do that. Amen. Korah had a ministry. He already had a ministry, but he wanted Moses' mantle. How many knows Lucifer? Lucifer had access to heaven, but how many knows he wanted God's throne? Never satisfied. Wanted more. And I love the posture of Moses' heart because it says here that as soon as he heard this, he fell to the ground. You know what that is symbolic of? Symbolic of humbleness and intercession. He fell to the ground to begin to pray for the people. Listen to this. True leaders kneel before God before they stand before people. The spirit of Korah often starts with just a real quiet offense or a wounded ego. How many of those egos like to pop up in churches sometimes? Come on. Egos. It'll quietly begin with, I'm overlooked. I'm not overlooked. They crave recognition. And here's another thing. They resist correction. They resist correction. You know, I'm at a place in my ministry now where I don't give two hoots in heaven. I don't give two hoots about standing strong on a decision that I feel like God's told us to do that. And if somebody said, I'm going to quit the church, all I can do is, like Tiffany said, say, adios, amigo, because we're not here to please people. I have to stand before God. I'm not going to stand before God because of the size of my congregation or how many people love me. I'm going to stand before God because I did what he told me to do. Amen. There's people in churches that will shout out. And when I preached this, and I just preached this in, where were we? In Kenya, just a couple of months ago. I preached this, and the bishops came up to me afterwards, and they said, Pastor, would you please write a book about this so that we can teach it to our other pastors and other churches throughout Kenya? We need this kind of teaching. Would you please write a book? I said, no, I'm not going to write a book, but I'll send you my sermon notes. We need this. I don't need authority. I know more than the leadership. You know what? You may know a whole lot more than the leadership, but the difference is God called the leadership. Let's finish this. This didn't start in Numbers 16. Actually, it started in Numbers chapter 12. Because there was another uprising against Moses. This time, it was his sister and his brother. Anybody ever have a family member rise up against you? Who do you think? You think you're daddy's favorite. You're mama's favorite. You know, we hear this all the time. But back in Numbers chapter 12, we read about another rebellion. Let's go back and read those 16 verses. Excuse me. If this is as far as we get today, that's okay. We got next week and the following week, and if Jesus don't come back, we'll be here for a while. Listen, don't be looking for me to find a rocking chair, okay? Because I'm not rocking out. I'm not reclining. I don't need a remote. I'm going to preach until I die, okay? So I think Brother Rob, that probably Korah and some of these younger dudes probably thought Moses was getting too old to lead. You know, he must be 76 like Pastor Rhodes, and surely he's way too old to be leading this congregation. He needs to step aside and let the younger ones come in and take over. We'll do what God tells us to do. Is that all right? We'll do it in God's timing, all right? And right now, I've said it before, I just as soon keel over in this pulpit as to go home and die of cancer. Can I get a better amen? I'd rather just be preaching my heart out, and my heart stops because I preached it out. What a way to go. You say, well, what about us, Pastor? What are we supposed to do if you fall over while you're preaching? Rejoice. Have church. Jump up and dance around me and say, he's in heaven. Don't mourn for me. It's just an address change for me. God help me to stay on track. That's one of the benefits of getting older. You can get off track. Numbers chapter 1. Let's read about this couple. This is the brother and sister of Moses who Moses decided to have an interracial marriage. And because he did, they threw a fit. Now listen to this. Verse 1 through 16, Numbers 12. While they were at Hazeroth, Miriam, the older sister of Moses, and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. They said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too? Doesn't that sound familiar? I said, don't that sound just like Korah? Huh? Hasn't he spoken through us too? But the Lord heard them. I mean, the Lord hears it all the time. He hears everything. You might think you're in your bedroom criticizing, but I'm going to tell you something. God hears it all. Now, Moses was very humble, more humble than any person on earth. So immediately the Lord called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, and he said, get out, called a board meeting, didn't he? We're going to have a board meeting right here. Go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. So the three of them went out to the tabernacle, and the Lord descended in a pillar of cloud, and he stood in the entrance of the temple. Aaron and Moses, he called out. They stepped forward, and the Lord said to them, now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he's the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why were you afraid to, why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? Look at this next one. You might want to underline this one. The Lord was very angry with them and departed. Anytime the Lord departs, we're in big trouble. No good thing can happen when the Lord departs. As the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. When Aaron saw what happened to her, he cried out to Moses, oh, my master. Notice, my master. Y'all see that? He changed his tune, didn't he? He began to sing a different song now. My master, please don't punish us for this. How many knows Moses didn't punish him? Come on. Please don't punish us for this. We've done foolish. We've done so foolishly committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby already decayed at birth. So Moses cried out to the Lord. Here he goes back into intercession. This is the true sign of a leader. When criticized, they'll fall on their face and pray for those that criticize them. I wonder where you're at. Where are you at today, honey? Where are you at? He cried out to the Lord, oh God, I beg you, please heal her. But the Lord said to Moses, I like this line, if her father had done nothing more than spit in her face. Isn't that a good line? You ever read that before? If her father would have just spit in her face, wouldn't she be defiled for 7 days? I did a little study on this spitting in the face, and it was very interesting, and I'm going to get off track for just a little bit. But I went to the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown Bible commentary. I'm going to read you what they said about this. In the Bible times, to spit directly in a person's face was one of the strongest public insults possible. It was a public sign of deep shame, rejection, and disgrace. When God said to Miriam, if her father had but spit in her face, he was comparing her punishment to the shame a child would feel if a parent publicly showed disgust toward them. In Eastern culture, especially among Jews, being spat upon meant you were dishonored, you were publicly rejected, and you were unclean. Even spitting on the ground in front of someone showed contempt. That's why in Deuteronomy, when the widow spat in the face of the brother who refused his duty, was a legal and public declaration of shame. And Deuteronomy, I want to paraphrase. Now I got to go paraphrase this one because this is a whole different story here. I'm on story number three here now. Here's a story that happened in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Two brothers lived on the same road. They were both married. Well, one of the wives of one of their brothers died. Well, God had set up the law that if your brother's wife dies, you're supposed to take her to be your wife. And you're supposed to keep the family name going and continue to give her sons. And she doesn't have to be left alone. She's not going to lose everything because you're taking care of her. And so this was a law that God had given to protect and preserve the widows. Let me paraphrase. But in this situation, this younger brother refused. And because he refused, the widow would then go to the town gate where the elder sat to judge everything. And she'd say, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name. He will not do his duty. The elders would call the man and speak with him. But if he stubbornly answered, I don't want to marry her, then a public shame would follow. I am actually reading from Deuteronomy 25. I don't want to marry her, then a public shame would follow. Listen to this. In front of everyone, the widow would walk up to him, remove his sandal from his foot, and spit in his face. Can you imagine? I'm just glad we're not living in the Old Testament. Then she would announce, "This is what happens to the man who refuses to build his brother's family." From that day on, his household would carry a shameful nickname, the family of the man whose sandal was pulled off. And in Miriam's case, God was teaching Israel that rebellion and disrespect towards God's appointed leadership brought public shame. Are you listening? Remember in 1 Samuel where the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Why? Because rebellion always attempts to replace God's order with self and self-will. Point number two. I don't believe we're going to make them all today. Point number two. The spirit of Korah spreads through influence and division. The spirit of Korah spreads through influence and division. Now remember this, Korah did not rebel alone. How many knows he took his associates with him, his friends? In fact, the Bible says it was 250 prominent members of the assembly. That's how that spirit operates. It recruits. It goes after people that are weak. It goes after people that like to find fault. How many knows misery loves company? Huh? Misery loves company. That spirit likes to recruit. Offense loves an audience. Rebellion needs agreement. So people under the spirit, under the influence of the spirit of Korah, are constantly whispering, "Did you hear what the pastor did? Did you hear what Sarah said? Did you see what Dwayne did? Did you see what Mama Rhodes did at Solid Rock?" And it keeps whispering and whispering, "But I just don't agree with the leadership. I just don't agree with the vision of Solid Rock. I don't agree." Listen, can I tell you something? If you don't agree with the leadership, find some place where you can hook up and agree with. It's that simple. Did you hear me? It's that simple. Instead of sitting there in your seat saying amen once in a while and acting like you're involved, just go find some place that you can hook up with. You know what? I will bless you when you go. I will, because I'd rather for you to leave saying, "Well, Pastor, I can't agree with the vision," and leave in that order instead of just leaving and trying to take 250 people with you. We've had people leave this church. I've been here 50 years. And do you know that we've had 4 churches started out of rebellion at Solid Rock? That's about 1 every 12 and a half years. That's not too bad, is it, Dwayne? We've had 4 churches started out of rebellion. And they didn't start up in St. Louis or in Poplar Bluff. They started right here in Farmington. And some of them worked full-time here at the church. And they had access to our mailing list. And they got our mailing list and sent everybody a letter. "We're starting a new church over here in downtown Farmington. We're renting a storefront building." I probably just told who it was. And "we're going to buy new chairs. We'd like for you to help us buy new chairs for our new church. Here's an offering envelope." Listen. That is rebellion. That is not of God. And if you do not agree with the vision, just simply say, "I don't agree with the vision," and move on quietly. And I will bless you, and the door will be open. I'm not going to burn any bridges. Are you with me? But don't sit in the church and just spread rumors and talk about trouble and talk about everybody how you don't agree with Pastor Rhodes. "I didn't agree with that message. I don't agree with what Tyler taught back there Sunday. I don't agree with what Dwayne sang this past Sunday. I don't agree with what's going on in children's church." Listen, instead of raising up that kind of cane, just button your mouth and if you can't submit, just go on. I love you anyway. I love everybody. Amen. Oh, I almost said something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, you saved me. Rebellion wrapped in religious language. You know what they did? They accused Moses of taking them out of the wilderness First of all, how many knows? Out of Egypt, they accused him of taking them through the Red Sea. How many knows Moses didn't part that Red Sea? How dumb can you get and still breathe? Moses didn't part the Red Sea. He just obeyed God and stuck the rod out. You brought us out here in the wilderness to die. Where's the promised land? Where's the land that flows with milk and honey? Where's the houses that we don't have to build and the fruit trees that we don't have to plant? Where is all that stuff at? Why did you bring us out here to die? Moses didn't take them out there to die. They died because of their own stubborn, rebellious, unbelieving heart. Shout amen. Put your hands together. Do something. Look alive. Woo. Preaching my guts out here. The least you can do is shout amen. Where's the promised land? Well, Pastor, you've been preaching God's going to send revival for years. I'm going to keep preaching it. And you know what? I believe it's closer now than it's ever been. And you know what? If the Lord takes me home before revival comes, revival's still going to come. Because before the Lord returns, I believe we're going to see a great worldwide revival sweeping through our land. Amen and amen. If you can reach out, amen. So today, in the 21st century, we still observe that the spirit of Korah is alive and well. I don't know if it's in solid rock or not. I'm not preaching because of somebody has been. I'm giving us preventive medicine. When you feel that thing start to rise up within you, recognize it and say, you know what? I'm not going to bow to that. I'll just get up out of my seat and I'll walk to the back. when you feel that thing starting to rise up, deal with it. Put it down. This is preventive medicine. Amen. So there's people still stay in churches today. Well, Pastor, you just have too much authority. You're not the only one that hears from God. I know that. There's people here that know more Bible than I do. I'm sure brother Dr. Sue can quote a whole lot more scriptures than I do. But God didn't call Dr. Sue to be the pastor. And you know what? He don't want to be the pastor. But we do have some wannabes once in a while show up, right? You're leading this church in the wrong direction. Well, I just don't agree with the vision. You're taking us the wrong way. It's rebellion, it's prideful, it's antichrist, and it's the spirit of Korah, and we need to deal with it. You can recognize it and rebuke it and put it down, or you can yield to it, and it will cause you much heartache. I haven't even got to the part where the judgment of God came upon Korah. We'll get there this week or next week. Amen. If you are listening to me right now and you have a rebellious feelings towards any of your leaders, you're leaving yourself uncovered. You're leaving yourself uncovered. I'm not bragging on me. I'm not trying to get people to follow the holy man of the church. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. It has nothing to do with anything that I'm saying today. I'm just saying, if you feel, you know, and I know we're all equal in Christ, but in God's order, there is pastors. Amen? And we're all, yeah, we all hear from God. I'm not saying like that. But listen, your leader, your shepherd, your pastor is God's mouthpiece. Don't stand up here and argue with you musicians and singers. Listen, I wish I could be at practice today. I'd like to preach this at practice, but I'm not going to. But don't argue with your leader. When he offers a suggestion and says, let's do this, let's do this. You say, I don't like that song. Well, then go to another church. I'm about to run everybody off, Dwayne. We may not have anybody next Sunday. You know what? It's my job to feed. It's my job to protect. It's my job to shepherd the flock of God. Amen. Amen. Number two, remember what that was? The spirit of Korah spreads through influence and division. Don't even become associated with people that you feel like are trying to spread a little bit of Korah. Amen. If you sense that somebody's, you know, becoming a little bit rebellious and that chorus spirit is beginning to rise, just be careful who you associate with. Because I want to tell you something. The same earth that swallowed up Korah swallowed up the 250 from the assemblies of God. Are you with me? I mean the assemblies. Here's the way I meant to say it. That spirit seeks people to attach itself to, but when judgment falls on Korah, it also falls on those connected to it. Cancer. A cancer cell is deadly because it refuses to function in harmony with the rest of the body. Instead of submitting to the body, it begins consuming the body. And that's what rebellion does in a church. It stops building and it starts tearing down. The enemy knows that if he can't destroy a church from the inside, he'll try to get good people from the inside. Well, I just don't agree with that sermon. Well, Pastor took that scripture out of context. Pastor just don't know what he's talking about. You know what? I may do that sometimes. I may make mistakes when I'm preaching. I'm sure I do. I'm human. Listen. I have an announcement to make. You do not have a perfect pastor. I don't want to mess you up today. But listen, you do not have a perfect pastor. And I might take a scripture that says one thing to emphasize something else, and you can say, well, he's just taking it out of context. Listen, I just want to feed the flock of God. I want to bless the flock of God. I want to minister to you. And sometimes a word fitly spoken in due season does much good. Okay. Even the devil knows something powerful, that unity attracts the presence of God. Remember Psalms 133. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Why? Because that is where the Lord commanded. Say commanded. He commands the blessing. No wonder hell fights against unity in a church. Thank God for the unity at Solid Rock. Thank God for the oneness. Thank God for the agreement. Thank God for the love that we have one for the other. Can we do point three real quick? The spirit of Korah ends in judgment and destruction. This story has a shocking end. By the way, Sister Radford, it's so good to see you this morning. Good to see you. The spirit of Korah ends in judgment and destruction. So we're going to read verses 32 through 35 in the same chapter of Numbers, chapter 16. Here's what happens. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed the men, along with their households. Did you hear that? Not just the 250, but their households and all their followers who were standing with them and everything they owned, their boats, their motorhomes, their camels, everything. So they went down alive into the grave along with all their belongings. The earth closed over them and they all vanished from among the people. All the people fled when they heard their screams. The earth will swallow us too. Then the fire blazed forth from the Lord and burned up all the 250 men and the men who were offering incense. In other words, this is quite the story, isn't it, Roy? The ground just opened up. Can you imagine? I mean, that had to be a pretty good hole in the ground, right? To swallow that many people, the families, and everything they owned. The earth just opened up. I don't know if it was an earthquake. I don't know what happened. I don't have to have an explanation. All I know is the earth opened up, and the fire fell, and they were burned alive, and they went into hell. I'm going to tell you something. Rebellion attacks divine order. And God says, I will establish divine order. This was never, never, never about Moses' ego. This is not about my ego. Please understand, if you don't know me by now, you don't know me. This is not about my ego. This is not about me having my way. This is not about me inspecting everything that's done. I take my hands off on so much around here. I have the best job in the world, Steve. I got a better job than you do. We've got people running the office. We've got people running all the ministry departments. And I get to study and prepare and study and prepare. I've got the best job in the world. I get to dig into the word of the Lord. I love it. That's my job. Acts chapter 6, the disciples said, we don't have time to wait on tables and to set the tables and do all this stuff. We're going to give ourselves to the ministry of the word. That's what I get to do. Thank God. After 50 years, I get to spend my time studying and praying and seeking the face of God. I love it. I even get paid for it. Did you know that? I get paid for what I do. Well, I should get more, but that's okay. Now listen, wouldn't you think after all these people see what happened to this rebellious bunch of people, don't you think they would have feared the Lord? Don't you think they would have said, oh my God, we'll never do that. We'll never act like that. Can I read you a scripture? Same chapter, verse 41. The very next morning. Listen, please, there's nobody here that dumb, right? There's nobody here that shallow, right? Come on, church. Y'all are better than that. The very next morning, the whole community of Israel began murmuring against Moses and Aaron and said, you have killed the Lord's people. Doesn't that blow your mind? Moses, it was you that opened up the earth. It was you that split the earth and caused them. No, come on. Is this okay today? Whew. Moses, you killed the Lord's people. As the community gathered to protest against Moses and Aaron, dear God, they're slow learners, aren't they? Everybody say the next day. They turned toward the tabernacle and saw that the cloud had covered it and that the glorious presence of the Lord appeared. And the Lord said to Moses, now listen, God's about to get fed up with this group of people. He's about got his plate full. You know what I mean? He said, Moses, get away. Get away from all these people. I am instantly going, I'm going to destroy all of them. But I love the attitude of this great leader, the greatest leader in the Old Testament. Moses and Aaron fell on their face down on the ground. True leaders kneel before God before they stand before people. That's not the end of the story. Drop down to verse 49. Do we have that one? I think I just threw this up there, didn't I? Did you have these notes? Blake's doing a great job. Thank you, Blake. Verse 49. But 14,700 people died in that plague, in addition to those who died in the affair involving Korah. Are y'all getting this picture this morning? Is it resonating with any of us today? You know, I think we better keep our mouth shut. You know, I think if we're not in agreement, we better just keep our mouth shut because God doesn't like all this loose tongue mouth stuff. Amen? The spirit of Korah will always second guess the decisions of their leader. And when you disrespect and you dishonor Brother Dwayne, Sister Sarah, Sister Carissa, listen, our young people on Wednesday nights are up in the room worshiping and praising God and having a great time. Those, what do they call them? Loft people. The loft, they're up there. I call them teenagers still. I'm old school. The up in the loft, they're up there praising God, worshiping God. We're out of here by 8:15, and they're still having fun. And we got parents down here complaining because their kids are still up having church. Are you listening? Can you listen to how that sounds? I think we would be rejoicing because our kids don't want to come down from having church. I would think that we'd rejoice that they're having a great time instead of you sitting around the tables back here saying, hey, I wonder when they're going to get over with. Maybe we do have some Korahs in here. Can you sing this song with me? Oh, how I love Pastor Rhodes. Oh, how I love... Well, we might as well just say it, huh? Might as well just say it. You are inviting judgment. These ladies, those Sister Carissa and those in that youth room up there, they work hard to prepare to minister. They're not up there just playing pool and games and eating pizza. They're having church. Carla comes in at 5 or 5:30 every Wednesday and starts on the keyboard. Dustin and Michaela, Michaela? They come in and they start practice worship rehearsal and getting ready for the loft to have church service. Listen, they're up there having church. And we want them to hurry up and get out so we can go home and watch Matlock? Are you kidding me? I love you all. I really do. But we got to beware that this spirit doesn't get a hold of anybody in Solid Rock Family Church. Amen. All right. We're going to get to point number 4. It's only 11:30. Y'all happy? You believe I can do it? Point number 4. If your leader is in error, God will deal with them. I don't know how to say this without sounding self-serving. But nowhere can I find in the Bible where they voted out a pastor or voted in a pastor. Ooh, I knew it would get quiet pretty soon. I've never read in the Bible where the majority rules, because you know what happens when the majority rules? Look at Joshua and Caleb. Look at those spies that came back. Because of them, 3 million people died in the wilderness. I listen to advice. I take godly counsel. I don't run this church like a, what do you call them, a dictator. I take advice. I listen. I feed on my staff. I call pastors. I'm always on the phone with pastors, talking to them and going through things with them. Listen, but listen. If your pastor is in error, you don't have to get a committee together and vote him out. David, listen, go back to what David did when Saul was in error. Saul was trying to kill David, and David would not as much as take advantage of Saul, because you know what he said? He is God's anointed. God forbid that I should touch God's anointed, even though he's wanting to kill people. Listen, I haven't had that thought for a long time. One time we were overseas. And somebody decided they didn't want us to be pastors when we got back home. So they got a little petition together, Brother Steve. And they said, if we can get everybody in this church to sign this petition, we can get rid of Pastor Rhodes. Do you remember that? Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? Just say yes or say no if I'm not. Dwayne, were you a part of that? Okay. Dwayne, did you sign that? They brought that. They had the audacity to bring that to us, you know, and there wasn't very many names on it. And I just tore it up and threw it away. I said, this don't mean anything at Solid Rock. I bet your name better not have been on there, Kathy. Well, it was here when you were here. But you know what? David had such respect for his leader that even when his leader was in error, you know what? If I'm in error, would you pray for me? Just pray for me. Don't kick me out. Where would I go? That's what the disciples said. Well, Lord, where should we go? I'm 76 years old. I'll be 77 in just a couple months. And Lord, where should I go at 77? Nobody wants a worn out, bald-headed, bloody-headed preacher. I will miss it from time to time. I will say things that I wish I wouldn't have said. And I've done it probably this morning. But listen, just pray. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. Intercede for your leaders if they're going through something. Oh, my. I could get off on a pig trail here, but I don't think it would glorify the Lord. So let's move on. God appoints and God can remove. Did you hear me? God appoints and God can remove. How many know that he who hires has the ability to fire? The hand that places can displace, right? You got it? Remember that, Dwayne? No. The one who appoints can also disappoint. Saul refused to obey, and guess what? The kingdom was ripped out of his hand. His ministry was ripped away from him. There are ministers, even in this 21st century, that have been in error. They've had some sexual sins, and they have been removed. Some have even went to prison. And I know some people have a hard time forgiving. Some people have a hard time, difficult time, forgiving. But listen, even the worst of sinners deserves the blood of Jesus to be applied to their lives and be forgiven. That doesn't mean we become bosom buddies. That doesn't mean we welcome them into our, it just simply means, listen, we have to forgive. We have to forgive. Amen. So, okay. Psalms 105, do not touch my chosen people and do not hurt my prophets. And even though Saul was out of the will of God, how many knows David refused to touch the anointed of God? Let's see if we can get to number 5. Nope, not yet. I like this statement. Korah went from refusing to follow to being swallowed. He went from refusing to follow to being swallowed. You know, a train is such a powerful thing. Did you see that train that hit that sewer truck? You didn't see that? This sewer truck, you know, goes around and picks up sewer from people's septic tanks, all that green stuff and brown stuff and all that liquid. The train, he got stuck on the train track, and the train just plowed into him, and I'm sure it was a stinky mess that somebody had to go in and clean up. I mean, it just happened. I think yesterday it was crazy. But now listen, a train is a powerful, powerful piece of machinery. And as long as it stays on track, listen to me, it's powerful as long as it stays on track. But how many knows the moment it leaves the track, its strength becomes its destruction? Authority in the church, order. They're not prisons. They are protection. And people who reject authority. I watch these cop shows. I love to watch. Mike, where are you at? I love to watch these cop shows. Have you noticed how much rebellion there is when they pull over somebody for weaving or got a light out or for any probable cause? They pull them over, and there's so much rebellion. I'm not rolling my window down. You better roll that window down or I'll bust it out. Roll that window down. I'm not rolling my window down. I don't have to answer to you. Jeff, you know what I'm talking about. Rebellion to authority. I'm not going to listen. I don't have to listen to you. I'm just as good as you are. I'm a human just like you are. I pay your salary. You know what? I've heard that when I rode along with the deputies throughout St. Francis County. I heard that statement so many times. Well, I pay your salary. And Alan Crawford, our good friend Alan Crawford, took a quarter out of his pocket one time and said, well, here, you can have it back. I love you. I hope you're watching, Helen. The spirit of Korah is alive when people despise spiritual authority. Correction becomes offensive. Loyalty disappears. Did I write these? I did. Loyalty disappears. Offense becomes your culture. You get offended so easy. If it's not your wife, if it's not your child, if it's not your parent, if it's not your, you know, your boss, if it's not your, you get offended so easy. Loyalty disappears. Offense becomes your culture. People gather around criticism, and gifted people become unteachable. Leave that up there so they can take photos of it. Listen, gifted people that could do so much good, Dwayne, in the kingdom of God. They've got gifts and talents. Listen, Korah was gifted. Korah was called. Korah was a Levite. He had an anointing. But gifted people become unteachable, and gifted people like that will not serve in Pastor Rhodes' pulpit. I will protect this flock from people that have those kind of attitudes. I promise. I respect the pulpit. Not only that, how many know social media? Man, if social media has just amplified this spirit of rebellion. Do you ever read what's going on in St. Francis County? Oh, my goodness. I have to put it down. What's going on in St. Francis County? Man, if you want the scoop, go there. Everybody, listen, everybody these days has a platform, don't they? Everybody has a voice. Can I say this? Everybody has an opinion. Can I tell you some things about opinions? Listen, I'm not going to say they're like armpits and they sink, but I am going to say opinions are not always fact. Opinions are not always facts. They're opinions. Opinions can easily divide people. It's not a conviction. It's not something that's black and white in the world. It's just an opinion. How many knows conviction parts company, divides people? Opinions are often shaped by experience. Well, this is what happened to me, so it is my opinion that, are you with me? I didn't get healed, so it's my opinion that God doesn't heal today. Well, here's a good one. Opinions will change over time. Somebody needs to say, thank God they do. I said, opinions will change over time. You used to didn't like that person on that side of the church, but now you got a pretty good opinion of them, right? Opinions change over time. Opinions are easy to share, but they're hard to defend. Why? Because they're not fact. They're just what they are. They're opinions. And one more thing about, I'll give you one more thing about opinions before we move on. Everyone believes theirs is right. Everyone believes their opinion is right. Am I right? Point number five. Hey, we're going to make it. Come on up, worship team. This will help encourage everybody. Point number five, the cure for the spirit of Korah. I've got five things that we're going to hit real quickly. I'm going to hit them just real quickly. Five things, the cure for the spirit of Korah. Because you know what? Once we recognize it, how many knows we need to work on it? Huh? If I identified you in any area of this message today, we don't want to just leave identifying it. We want to learn how to eliminate it. The cure. Number one, stay humble. Stay humble. Humility will protect you from rebellion. Number two, always be grateful for your assignment. Be grateful for what God gifted you to do. When you start lusting after other people's giftings, you start desiring to want more notoriety. You want more likes on your Facebook page. Come on now. Oh, if I can just get 100 likes. I know that I'm going to, listen, be grateful for your assignment. What has God given you to do? Do it. Do it with joy. Do it. You don't have to possess somebody else's mantle to be valuable. Evidently, you're valuable just like you are. Christy, you're valuable. A lot of people don't understand Christy. She's kind of out there sometimes. I mean, you notice that, right? She's out there sometimes. But Christy, I love the gifting on the inside of you. I love the calling that God's placed on the inside of you. And you are valuable. I can't help it that your personality gets in the way. Your gifting is valuable, right? Okay. Number three, right? Guard your heart from offense. Guard your heart. When somebody comes up and begins to whisper, guard your ears. Guard your heart. Listen, this is good teaching today, folks. Guard your heart. How many knows offense is the seedbed of rebellion? Guard your heart from offense, because offense is the seedbed of rebellion. And four. Honor godly authority. I'm not saying, listen, did you hear me say worship godly authority? Did you hear me say blindly follow authority? You didn't hear that one time. But you must respect and honor godly, biblical honor to the godly authority. Amen. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch over your souls. I cannot watch over your souls if we're not together. You hear me? How can I watch over your souls if we're not on the same page? Amen? I hope this is good today. And number five, stay teachable. Stay teachable. Remain teachable. The moment that we get to the place that nobody can correct us, we are in danger. There are some husbands that cannot stand for their wives to bring any kind of correction to them. It's World War III. My wife and I both know we learn from each other. We gain from each other. I listen to her. She listens to me. I know she hears from God. She knows I hear from God. Stop being so argumentative in your home. Husbands, honor your wife. The Bible says, treat her like fine china. Easily broken, right? Very expensive. Yes, amen. Yes, very expensive. If you would stand to your feet with me this morning, I'm going to have you out of here in 10 minutes, maybe. Listen closely. Don't move around. This is not the time to dismiss. Listen for just a moment. Korah's tragedy was not a lack of gifting. It was not a lack of gifting. It was a lack of submission. He had talent without humility. Have you ever seen anybody that had talent but didn't have any humility? You ever seen anybody that had talent and they were proud of it? In a self-exalting way, I'm talking about. Korah had influence without obedience. He had passion without surrender. And guess what? It totally destroyed him. Do you know the greatest strength in the kingdom of God is not prominence, it's surrender. I love that statement. It's not prominence, it's surrender. Can you surrender? Can you surrender the spotlight? Can you surrender the notoriety? Can you surrender not being called out in every service and getting your getting patted on the back? A surrendered heart is stronger than a celebrated platform. Philippians chapter 2, I'll close with this. He humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Creator, the Giver of life, humbled himself. You know what he did? He submitted to his Father. He submitted to the Father. Guess what? He submitted to the cross. He submitted to the will of God without question. He did say, God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? But that's as far as it got. Because he knew he had to go through the process. Everybody say this with me. If I exalt myself, I will fall. But if I humble myself, God will lift me up. That's the Bible. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say this with me. Lord, search my heart. Lord, remove any pride. Remove any offenses. Lord, remove any rebellion that I might have. May I stay humble and teachable. May I stay submitted to your will. Say this out loud. Deliver me from the spirit of Korah. Help me to build unity rather than division. Help me to honor what you establish. And Lord, I want to walk in humility all the days of my life. Thank you for helping me. I believe you're hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this morning. You guys can go ahead and sing softly if you want to. If you're in this house today, if you're in this building, and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, listen, church, it's time we start seeing people born again in the house of God. I wouldn't mind seeing two or three born again every Sunday morning. If Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, why would you want to walk out today? Knowing that if you were to die, you would spend eternity in hell. You see, there's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's through the blood of the Lamb. There's only one way. There's not, Jesus is not a way. He is the way. And if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, could I encourage you today? I'd beg you, if it would help, to just humble yourself and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus to have control of my life. Anybody in the building, just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you if you're here today. Thank you, hon. Thank you. Anybody else? I want Jesus to come into my life today. I want everybody to put your hand on your heart and pray this prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, say it out loud. Dear God in heaven, without Jesus, I'm a sinner. But because I have Jesus, I'm a new creation. Jesus, come into my heart. Fill my life with the joy of the Lord. I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. I promise and commit my life to you, Jesus. From this day forward, you are my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, hearing my prayer right now. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for writing my name down in heaven. Put your hands together and give God a praise right now. Come on. Hallelujah. All my life.